One of the things, I want to talk about a shift going on. And I see a shift in my spirit so strongly that we're about ready to enter into the greatest move of God that the world's ever known. I believe that. I believe that it's not only been prophesied, it is the will of God. That we are going to see the greatest harvest that any generation has ever seen. But I also believe that this is going to be a faceless revival other than the face of Jesus. And unlike revivals of the past, most revivals in the past has been predicated on great leaders. And God will raise up leadership. Please understand what I'm saying. But this revival is going to be predicated on the body. It's going to be the entire body functioning. Come on now. It won't be a few great gifts out there that everyone recognizes. We have to come and stream to certain locations because of a great gift. It will be a great gifted body, where believers will be laying hands on the sick, not just preachers. Come on now. Where miracles, signs, and wonders will be, you know, the works that Jesus did, the body's going to do. Come on now, even greater works. There's a whole different season where literally God's going to begin to activate people like never before. See, why don't you go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to talk about the shift. We're actually going back to our roots so that we can bear much fruit. Come on now. But Genesis 1:28 is one of my favorite scriptures, and it's a kingdom scripture, by the way. There's a principle that God placed increase in every one of you. Every one of you is carrying a harvest. Every one of you was pre-programmed, and literally it was placed in your spirit, a harvest before you ever were born. You were born on a purpose to manifest something. And that manifestation that you are carrying is a grace. It's the grace of God. It is a gift, not to be just for you, but it's a gift for this world. And within that gift is manifested, there's kingdom increase. Come on now. When the gift is not manifested, you know, then a generation loses out. Come on. In Genesis chapter 1, see, those that know their God, they make history. They're not history, they make it. In Genesis 1:28 says, and God blessed them. How many of you understand God's blessed you? Come on now. God blessed them. And God said to them, just like he's saying to you tonight, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over, come on, rule over the fish of the sea. And over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God gave you dominion. Come on. And his first command was a command to a seed. Be fruitful. Multiply. Literally, it was saying, express what's on the inside of you. Come on now. He said, you know, he made us in his image. Reflect that image. You know, the whole earth is waiting for the image of God. The whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is waiting for us to wake up out of our sleep, to arise and shine. Come on, for the light has come. The glory of the Lord has already risen upon us, but we have to rise up to meet it. Come on now. Hallelujah. When we begin to recognize that God literally foreordained good works that we walk in. And let me tell you something. Woe unto you unless you manifest what God put in you. That's what Paul said. Woe unto me unless I preach the gospel. Why? Because the preach was in him. And if he didn't do what was in him, if he didn't manifest it, it caused him woe. Impression without expression leads to depression. When we don't give our gift, we are basically resisting the grace of God. God never called you to resist the grace. He called you to he called you to manifest the grace. Come on now. It's the manifold grace of God that causes us to express something. Come on. So if you're a singer, you have to sing. If you're a dancer, you have to dance. If you have a mercy motive, you have to show mercy. If you're a preacher, you have to preach. If you're a writer, like my wife's a writer, I notice when she doesn't write for a while, her mood changes. I mean, she has to do it. It's in her. It's not something that just, she has sold maybe 100,000 books in her life, but in more than millions of people have read her works because she has ghostwritten for very well-known people. She was part of a magazine that had 600,000 people, a subscription of 600,000 a month. And she did a newspaper column that was read by over a million people a day throughout the United States. But I found out with her, since she was a little girl, it was in her. Her first book was when she was 7. Not too many people read it, but it was her first book. And she knew from that moment on, that's what she was going to do, because it was in her. There was a vision on the inside of her. That's what she saw herself doing. And literally, God wants to introduce you to, if you don't know what your vision is, he's going to awaken it. If you do know what your vision is, he's going to breathe all over it. Come on now. Because what I found out is every one of us is peculiar. And we should celebrate it. When God called me to ministry, I thought it was the biggest joke he ever put on the church. I love unique people. That's why, when I preached with Jesse Duplantis, he made me feel normal. He looks like God's anointed leprechaun. Looks like he belongs on Keebler box. But still, he does, trust me. And Jesse is going to be funny even when he doesn't try to be. That's who he is. I went out to eat with him. It doesn't stop in the pulpit. Brother Copeland Brother Copeland used to say that he loved having Jesse around, but when he had to have work to do, he would send Jesse on some errands because he had to get rid of him so he'd get something done. Come on. Everyone is like that. Everyone has the one thing you do. Paul said, this one thing I do. Well, find your thing. Do the thing you do. Do the thing you do. My son, he lives in an area, I'll never forget, 2 years old, he walks into my bedroom, barely can talk. He said, Daddy, do you know how many seconds are in a year? I said, what? He said, you know how many seconds are in a year? And he threw out this huge number. And I laughed. I said, Joey, how did you come up with that? He said, well, there's 60 seconds in a minute, right? He said, there's 60 minutes in an hour. That's 60 times 60. And then there's, 24 hours in a day times 24. And there's 365 days in a year. So you multiply all that times the 365. And that's how I came up with the number. He's 2 years old. But God put something in him. It's not, I don't understand it. I don't have to. I just am glad he got it and not me. And I'm glad he's my son. I am, because it's good retirement for me. Come on now. Hallelujah. But I am so grateful of gifts. I don't have to have every gift. I just have to have my gift. But every one of you has a precious gift. Use it. I tell this story. When I was growing up, I had such weird friends. I still do. Look at Gordon. But I do, man. I have such weird friends. And when I was growing up, my 11-year-old friend named David, when they gave him a chemistry set, $25 chemistry set, and that was back in 1960, probably 66. He was being such a genius, he mixed the chemicals together and blew up half his house. He lived in a 10,000 square foot home, very large home. His dad was very successful in Scarsdale, New York. And he blew off 5,000 square feet of home. I mean, a sonic boom, baby. And the amazing part is the blast didn't kill him. And the second amazing part is his parents didn't kill him after the blast didn't kill him. But years later, I met him in the airport. And I come off the plane, and I see him, and because I haven't changed in all these years other than the mustache, which I've had since I was about 18, but still. I walk off the plane. He looks. He says, Woody Woodson. I recognized his voice. I said, David Cooper. I said, how are you? Yeah, another angel. Got wings. And I said, David Cooper, how are you? And he looks, and the first thing out of my mouth is, do you remember when you blew up off half your house? And he looks at me, he said, you want to hear something funny? And I always want to hear something funny. He said, you know what I do for a living? He said, I am the head chemist for Dow Chemical. And he said, I have my own building, can't blow it up, but I try. He's blessing humanity. See, God made him different. He was different than all the other kids. And you know, rather than try to be like everyone else, see, every one of us, you know, are members individually and corporately. You know, if you're a nose, you know, you should appreciate the armpit. Because you can at least know when he stinks. Come on now. Every one of us has a job to do. Amen. And then, you know, and then I had a friend named Tim, and Tim was, he was the original Star Trekkie before there was Star Trek. He would walk up and down the high school, and have you ever been around the kids, and they're always talking to themselves? It's always the weird kid. They almost have a sign on that said, hit me, hit me. Well, because I love to fight. You know, that's one of my passions, actually. I love to fight. Also, nothing like a good fight, and that's when you win. But, I mean, I'm a fighter by nature. So, I mean, I befriended him because everybody would pick on him. And I figure if I befriended him and someone picked on him and I beat them up, I was doing something good. You know? So it was using my gift for good, man. So I would bully the bullies. You know, at least put them back in line. And, you know, so, but I didn't know about this guy. He knew more about stars than anything I've ever been around. I mean, he would talk about the different constellations and stuff. Now, my son, that's one of his passions. My son, we have a telescope. We were going to buy the Hubble, but it wasn't fixed yet. But we have a telescope where you can put any star in the universe in it, and it automatically locates it with the computer. It's a cool thing. It's a really neat thing. And so I used to buy him these books by famous, you know, astronomers. Not astrologers, astronomers. One's demonic, one's not. Okay. Sometimes I mess them up and then they think I'm demonic. But, you know. But the bottom line is, when I bought him the book, I looked in the back cover, and guess who it is? Who's on the back cover? My friend Tim. And I realized God put that in them to bless humanity. And then I started thinking about, you know, my friend David Pitts. David Pitts, he wasn't the best youth pastor we ever had at Victory. In fact, he would always be drawing. You'd look at him and he'd draw you. How many of you have been around doodlers? You know, it's like you get around musicians, and especially drummers, they can't stop it. You know, I mean, you get around, I mean, you know, there's always, whatever on the inside of you, it always has a way of popping out. Well, David was one of those guys who was always, he's always doodling, always drawing something. And I looked, and you know, we get so frustrated. And one day, I tell him, I said, David, look at me, stop drawing. And he drew me. Well, you know, we had to let him go because the church went through a financial crisis in the early 80s. And I hadn't heard from him in about 13, 14 years. I bought VeggieTales. Used to buy it for my son, but I like it for myself. I like Bob the Tomato. I like Larry the Cucumber. I like all the touching songs like My Cheeseburger and Oh, Where Is My Hairbrush? The Pirates That Don't Do Anything. I mean, oh, man. I mean, these are classics. You know? So he was watching, and I was in the room in the kitchen washing the pan because my wife found a verse in Ezekiel says, as a man wipeth a dish. So I actually do the dishes. I actually just do the pans because the big pans don't fit. But I'm listening. At the end of the DVD, there's a segment when the guy comes on and explains how it's made. Well, it's no longer the guy who used to make him. All of a sudden, I hear the voice. I say, I know that voice. And there I jump in. There's David Pitts. And he's drawing the tomato. He's drawing the cucumber. He's the producer of VeggieTales. And I kept thinking, God put the doodle in David. I tried to take the doodle out of David. I said, David, don't you doodle. Stop doodling. And I kept thinking, I almost robbed the earth of doodle. Every one of you has something you doodle. If you'll release your doodle, the whole earth will be filled with the doodle, and the glory of God will cover it. I started thinking about Yankee Doodle Dandy. If he lost his doodle, would he have been a dandy? I don't think so. It's the way I think. Come on. You know, some of you, honestly, you got to get your doodle back. You know, the gifts and doodles of God are without repentance. It's there. It's there. It's there. Stir it up. You know, be the incredible you are. Not everybody will appreciate you. You know? So irritate them with your gift. Come on. Come on. See, a shift is coming. Part of the shift is, how many of you understand, if we'll hearken diligently to the voice of God, and part of hearken diligently to the voice of God is to stir up what's on the inside of you. One of the things that God showed me is I'm carrying like a Samuel anointing. Or actually, I'm carrying, you know, an anointing on my life that is called to activate gifts. You know, I'm called to prophesy to the Davids. Because without the prophetic, the giftings of others doesn't come out. And my job is to activate kings and priests. Because, you know, David fought because of the prophetic word. He faced Goliath because he knew he was supposed to be in the palace. He was anointed as king and said, well, how am I going to get to the palace? When he came out where his brothers were supposed to be fighting but hiding in a ditch in fear, when he saw Goliath say, you know, it wasn't the fact he saw Goliath. I don't believe it was. I believe it was the fact he heard what the people were saying. They were saying that the man who kills this giant, the king's going to give his daughter as the wife. And the light went on, and David said, I'm destined for the palace. This is my entry point. I have a prophetic assignment. And that means the giant is mine. That's what gave him the courage. God will give you a prophetic word. Many times, it may be years down the road, but all of a sudden, the courage comes. I prophesied to a young girl in Russell, Pennsylvania. And I remember she was 13, 14 years old at the time. She's 17 now. And she was kind of at an awkward age. Kind of a shy girl, you could tell. So I pointed her out. I said, come on up. I said, God has something for you. And I just began to prophesy. And I said, I see, most people don't think you're very expressive. I said, most people probably look and think you're shy. I said, but you have an incredible ability to put thoughts on paper. I said, I see you writing. I see books coming out of you. I see a creativity in you. And I said, you know, you are going to touch the hearts of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people on the words you put on paper. I didn't know that. The next year I came back to preach, she handed me her first novel. She had already written a lot of it, but she wasn't going to do anything with it, but she needed a confirmation. This year is her third novel. She has been now literally thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of books have been sold, and she's been picked up, and you know, her whole life has been transformed. You know, I got all signed copies of all of them. Well, hey. But it's the neatest thing to watch people enter into their gifting. You know, Deuteronomy 28 says, if we'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, all these blessings will come on us and overtake us. But Deuteronomy 28:13, I love what it says, God that will make you the head and not the tail. Above. And I believe the switch is coming. The switch is coming. You hear what I'm saying? There's a shift coming. Because right now, as a whole, the church is looked at as the tail. Come on now. You know, we are not right now. God's not that popular, neither are we. Come on. But the shift is coming. And how many people understand life looks better from the head? Life smells better from the head. Come on now. When life stinks, we just need God to flip us. Come on. You know, and God's about ready to put the church back on top. Come on now. That when we begin to, you know, what God began to show me is that promotion comes from the Lord. He puts down one, he sets up another. And God's about ready to make a shift in this nation. We're going to have a season where the church and the godly are going to begin to rule and reign again. Come on now. Where, you know, and in this life, come on, we're kingdom. You know, we are the branch office of the kingdom of God on earth. And the message of the kingdom is not we fit in, but we take over. God's going to get, and he's going to do it through revelation knowledge. He's going to give people dreams. He's going to give people visions. He's going to give people insights. Where people will have to come to you because you got the answers. You know, an amazing thing is Joseph, a Hebrew boy in prison. What I found out is when you got the revelation, eventually your gift will make room for you. You don't even have to position yourself. God positioned you. And when the time's right, they come looking for you. We've seen this again because just in my household, we've taught our son certain principles, but it's the neatest thing. He said, Daddy, they all come to me. They all come to me. He said, I'm not pursuing anything. All I do is develop my gift, and the gift's making room. Come on now. Let's develop our gift. Come on, let it out there. That gift is going to make room. That gift is going to make room for us. You're never too old. You're never too young. If you got a gift, use it. See, the set time has come. There's a due season. There's a set time of favor. Set time has come to favor Zion. I believe God is once again, there's a new wind blowing. There's a new wind. I want you to get this. This is a new season. Don't shake off the old season. There's a new wind blowing. Rise up. Get your confidence back out there. Start enjoying God again. Enjoy life. Enjoy the gifts you have again. See, when God breathes in your direction, Habakkuk 3:2 says he's going to revive the work in the midst of the years. He says, I'm going to give another wind. I'm going to breathe on it again. When everyone's counting you out, I'm going to do the greatest thing with people that have been counted out. Think about Moses. He was counted out for 40 years in the backside of the wilderness. But God breathed. Come on now. God breathed. Joshua and Caleb had to hold on to something for 40 years in the wilderness. One day God breathed. See, when God breathes, doors open. When God breathes, no turns into yeses. When God breathes, suddenlies begin to take place. A shift is going to come in your health, in your finances, in your relationships. The enemies who you've seen in the past, you'll never have to see them again forever. Come on now. That's Exodus 14, 13. That's what Moses told the people. These Egyptians who you see, you'll never see them again forever. Some of you, the diabetes that you face, you'll never have to see it again forever. High blood pressure that you've had, you'll never have to see it again forever. Come on now. Some of the things, I love it when, you know, not only do you get your healing, you get your health. You'll never even have to deal with that giant again. You'll take its head off. God will literally open up the sea and to make sure you get over to the other side. And with the same sea he opened up, he'll swamp the enemy and drown that enemy so you'll never have to face that one again. Come on. He didn't say you won't have to face anything again, but that one you will not have to face again. Come on now. Some of you are going to get this. See, the shift is acceleration. In a fine sports car have many, many gears. You get into a race car, there's amazing how many gears are in the race car. And as you switch gears, you begin to accelerate and accelerate and accelerate and accelerate. Well, that's what God said. He said, hey, we're shifting gears, we're shifting gears, we're coming into acceleration. You know, there's something about acceleration. There's something about multiplication. The shift is acceleration and will take you where you could not have gone on your own. It won't be natural, it'll be supernatural. I love season when God adds. I love addition. I love when he adds daily. But when he begins to multiply, come on. See, I've been part of that. You know, my home church, when I first started, we started at the beginning, the very beginning. We're part of the foundation. I remember the first year when we had 250 people at the beginning of the year, and we had 2,500 at the end of the year. 10 times. Second year, we went from 2,500 to over 4,400. We almost doubled the second. Man, when you multiply, it's something else. I believe God's about ready to do some multiplying. In fact, Deuteronomy 1:11, he said, I'll make you 1,000 times greater. 1,000 times greater. 1,000 times. I mean, what would happen if all of a sudden every church that preached the gospel was 1,000 times greater? Come on. What would happen? Come on. Don't tell me it can't happen. It can. See, take the limits off God. God can do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond. Some of you need to put that on your refrigerator. Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond. Oh, just look at those words. Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what you ever can even ask or think. According to the power. According to the power that's at work in you. I believe we're coming to an exceedingly abundantly beyond season. Think about that. Exceedingly abundantly beyond. See, when we raised our son, we taught him a lot of things. Now he's teaching us because we're watching it work in his life. But we taught him there is no box. No limitations. No limitations. We taught them there's nothing you can't do. There are things you don't do. There's nothing you can't do. You do all things through Christ. If God told you, if God placed it in you, you can do it. You can see what other people can't see. You can do what other people can't do because you got the God advantage. You got power working in you. Resurrection power. This is not natural, church. It's supernatural. See, we're going to come out of Egypt with back wages. Not only our back wages, but our great-great-grandparents' back wages. Come on now. You know, we're going to come back with everything that was stolen not only from us, but from our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. We are going to come back with back wages. Come on. And there will be the greatest transference of wealth, and there will be the greatest healing revival. There will not be one feeble among us. You know that something took place right before the Exodus. Because you can't tell me that there weren't any sickness and disease in Israel that entire time. But when they left Egypt, there was not one feeble. Not one feeble. Not one feeble. Not one feeble. People were, the wheelchair business was out of business. Not one feeble. Nobody was being pushed out. Everyone could see properly. Limbs were growing back. Come on. God's going to make up for the wasted years. The years the cankerworm has eaten all the other worms. Come on. See, payday is coming. One of my favorite candy bars, not because of the taste, but just because of the name, is payday. I always seem to keep a payday around. I just like the looking at it. Payday. Payday. It always sounds good. Payday. Well, God says he's not unjust to forget your labor of love. Come on now. See, God said you've been faithful over the years. Now I'm going to make you fruitful. Come on. Payday's coming. Payday's coming. Payday's coming. God's going to prove who's right. Payday's coming. Come on now. See, God will not allow any person to keep you from your destiny. See, God can move the wrong people out of your life and put the right people in your life. When he took Joshua and Caleb in, he spoke to Joshua. He said, hey, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you, and no man will be able to stand before you all the days. What he's saying, no one will be able to stop you. You are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. And we are about ready when, you know, there is going to come a season when the church is unstoppable. Come on now. We're unstoppable. Come on now. At least for a season. Then God will show us off. And then probably get us out of here. Now, when, I don't know. Don't ask me about eschatology. I have no idea. Just a big word to me. I am pre-wrath by conviction, pre-trib by hoping. You know. But regardless, I know, hey, we're going to be okay. That's all I need to know. People ask me, say, hey, you know, I said, that's above my pay scale right there. Yeah, ask Perry Stone or somebody, but don't ask me. Because I can give you all sorts of charts. Still don't know what they mean, but I can give it to you. See, as the shift takes place, one of the things, God's going to heal us of lame excuses. You know, that's one of the biggest problems that keeps us from the move of God is the lame excuses. Talks about strengthen the feeble. But then it talks about how in Hebrews 12, if there was a limb put out of the joint, snap it back in. You know, I found out our excuses put us out of joint. You know, we make excuses because of what somebody did to us. Have you ever been around the victim? I am the way I am because my mom belched when I was in her belly. And because of one gaseous moment, my whole life is destroyed. Get over it. Well, you don't understand what people did to me. Well, you don't understand what Jesus said. You don't understand what people did to me. You know, there's a whole new bloodline. You're blessed. Come on. You know, when I played baseball, I had this finger that would always dislocate when I caught things wrong because it's been broken so many times. Well, you know, it would cause a little bit of pain until I would pull the glove off and see the bone stick in the wrong direction. So I have to call time out. And the trainer would come out and said, just look the other way, because he knew the way I was. I hated seeing things. I just looked the other way, he'd snap it back into place and say, spit on it and play. You know, when you play pro ball, if you're breathing, you can play. If you're not breathing, they'll try to resuscitate you, or they'll trade you. Come on now. See, Moses was full of excuses, but how many people understand God doesn't hear an excuse we make? He said, oh, you don't understand, God. Who am I? God said, I'll be with you. So, it's not about us. It's never about us. God didn't choose us because we're great. He chose us because he's great. He's going to do something great for the most ridiculous people. You know? He does. He uses the outcasts. He uses the most least likely people because everyone will know it's God. You know, say, who am I? He said, I'll be with you. And he said, who are you? I thought I knew you, but I didn't know you good enough not to be in the backside of the wilderness. Who are you? He said, I am that I am. Everything that you're not, I am. He said, well, how will the people know? He said, what's in your hand? He said, this dumb old rod. He said, throw it down. You always have everything you need. But until it belongs to God, it can't be a blessing. So the rod had to become the rod of God for God to do miracles. And then he said, I can't speak. God said, I'll be with your mouth. What I found out about God is he don't want to take it. He uses the least likely people. Jesse, out of all of Jesse's sons, David was the least likely. In fact, he was so much the least likely that when Samuel came to Jesse's house and God said, the king is there among his sons, he said, show me the sons. And not one of the ones that Jesse brought in front of him, God said, that's the one. In fact, I know prophetically, sometimes I have felt that. I thought, man, did I miss it? Is this all your boys? He said, well, I got the runs. But he's not worth showing. He's out with the sheep where he belongs. He said, bring them. When David came in, he probably came in skipping. The prophet looked, no, God. That's the one! That's the one! What God say? Hey, I don't judge by outward appearance as man judges. Judged by the heart. Gideon, same thing. He was the least of the least. His family was the least. It was the poorest family in Manasseh. And he was the youngest in the poorest family. Yet God called him mighty deliverer when he was acting like Chicken Little. God's always speaking to your destiny. And see, it didn't take long. You know, with Gideon, it didn't take long. Within a few days, he went from Chicken Little to Great Deliverer. When you encounter God, it doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. Suddenly, it's going to take place. Suddenly, how many of you understand that? See, is God's power limited? In Numbers 11:23, that was the question that God asked Moses, is my power limited? And that was in response to God said, I am going to feed this entire nation. Supernaturally. And Moses kind of questioned, we're in the wilderness, and he said, is my power limited? And I love what it says in verse 29. It says, God changed the direction of the wind. God changed the direction of the wind. And supernatural provision came. God changed the direction of the wind. I'm telling you right now, there's a shift coming. God's changing the direction of the wind. There's supernatural provision. There's supernatural acceleration. There's something that the winds that have been against us now are going to be behind us. Come on. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by our might or our power, it's by the Spirit of God. God's going to start breathing again. Just like on the day of Pentecost when God sent a mighty rushing wind. How many are ready for a mighty rushing wind? I was preaching on that the winds of God, and I was preaching from Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And I was in western Kansas. I'll never forget that service because as I began to preach and I spoke, I just quoted the verse on a mighty rushing wind. A huge gust of wind blew in the sanctuary. Blew people's Bibles off their seats. Blew my Bible off the pulpit. And I mean, people are just staring. Like, you know, it got their attention. Well, it even got their attention more because that's western Kansas, and when sometimes the winds don't blow gently over the plain. It's wild there when the winds are blowing because there's nothing to stop them. So they figured maybe there's a huge storm outside. So they opened the doors outside, and there was no wind outside. Well, God got their attention. Well, God's going to get our attention. There's a mighty rushing wind coming. Come on now. There's a mighty rushing wind coming. And literally, there's an army of in this valley here of dry bones. And we're going to begin to prophesy. And the sad thing is, we better not stop prophesying when the bones come together. Even when it looks like it's an army, it ain't going anywhere until you prophesy to the wind. See, I think we got to keep prophesying until the wind comes, the wind comes, the wind comes. It says prophesy to the wind, and the wind, the breath entered into them. A mighty great army. Come on now. Ooh. You don't get this tonight. You don't get something that. You know, God says the wind is changing. He also said there's a flood coming. He said, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. I'm going to pour out something that you can't contain. There's going to be such an outpouring, the church will not be able to control what God's doing. It will not, and it will ruin those who try to. So that spirit of religion will actually be drowned in the outpouring of God. Come on. You know, how many of you begin to hear the sound that I've been hearing in my spirit of the abundance of rain when there's no evidence? Outwardly, it doesn't look like much has changed, but something has changed. And I feel like Elijah on top of the mountain with my head between my knees just praying because I know what I've heard. Trying to send people out, servants, saying, just look, is there any evidence yet? And the guy went seven times, came back the last time. He said, well, I see it like a fist. Fivefold ministry coming back. About ready to punch the devil's lights out. When Elijah said, hey, you better move now. Oh, flood's coming, the flood's coming, the flood's coming. And he got so excited on this outpouring. The hand of the Lord got on him. And he outran the chariots. Acceleration. Come on now. Something's about ready to take place. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what God's saying? See, the Bible says in Joshua 3:15 that it talks about how the river will overflow all its banks at a time of harvest. But God says, hey, this flood is for the harvest. This flood is for the harvest. During the time of harvest, there's always overflow, 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 overflow. We're about ready to get into the overflow in the harvest, the harvest, the harvest, the harvest. During a time of harvest, there's always great overflow. And out of our belly's going to flow what? Rivers, rivers, rivers. No more dry seasons because the church is going to begin to release the water. We're carrying the water. We're carrying the water. We have it in us. We have it in us. We got to release it. Release it to flood stage. And what does it say about the devil? He hates water. You cast out a demon, it goes to dry places. Dry, 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 dry. Why? He can't swim. He cannot swim. So when the enemy comes in, what's God do? He floods him. Like a flood, like a flood, like a flood. God said, hey, what did he do to the enemy? Same thing in Exodus 14. The enemy, the church is going on dry ground. The enemy comes in and God floods them. Come on now. It's a picture. And what God said, hey, when my church begins, well, you're going to drive out the enemy just by releasing the rivers. Come on. You're carrying something. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 14. This okay tonight? This is so much in my spirit because I know what I've seen. 1 Chronicles 14, verse 10 and 11. It says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And will thou give them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will give them into your hand. So he called the place Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, the name is Baal Perazim. I believe God's about ready to release, as the church begins to release waters, breakthroughs, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. Breakthrough comes in the flood anointing. Come on now. A flood of favor, a flood of glory, a flood of healing. Everywhere the river goes, there's healing. There's a flood coming. Come on. A flood of opportunity. In fact, when we begin to get in the flood stage, Habakkuk 1:5 will become a reality that God said, if I had even told you what I was about ready to do, you wouldn't believe. You'd be astonished. Oh. Come on. Oh, you know, it has to be something special when everyone that's died before us longed to be part of what we're part of. Even the saints that walked with Jesus wish they were in our days. Come on, somebody. New season, no more dry season. New season's a breakthrough because of the blood of the covenant. Come on. There'll be no more dry season. Zechariah 9:11. And God says, in the midst of the release of no more dry season, I'm going to double. I'm going to take what you've lost and I'm going to double it. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Come on. See, there's a new season of the Spirit of the Lord upon us. He's anointed us. There's a new season of revelation knowledge. The eyes of our understanding are about ready to be enlightened like no other generation before us. We're going to take of all the truths of the past, and then God's going to begin to reveal stuff that's been there all the time but been reserved for us. It won't be stuff that's not in the Word. It will be a light of the Word. Come on now. We're going to go further. We're going to go faster. It's not going to be natural. It's going to be supernatural. Amos 9:13, there's coming a time we'll plant with one hand and reap with the other. In fact, more than just that, we are about ready to enter into other people's labors. All the prayers of every generation that's ever been prayed that haven't been answered, in the climax generation, we get a chance to be the one to reap the fruit of all that they labored. Think about that. Think about that. Expect to benefit from other people's labor. There will even be rivers in the desert. He said, I'm doing a new thing. Will you not be aware of it? It will speed forth. It'll come forth suddenly. There will be rivers in the desert. I'm going to begin to show up in places no one expected me to show up. There's going to be new levels of glory and favor as people operate in faith. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. But part of it is what God's told me is people have to enlarge their tent in order to believe. If their tent of belief is not there, they're not going to receive what I'm doing. Stretch forth the cards. Lengthen the stakes. God said, hey, remember what I showed you in the mountaintop? The deal's still on. Well, that was 30 years ago. I was a young man then. God said, well, you better get renewed in your mind. Because the deal's still on. Just won't be in your strength, in your power. Be by me. See, God in Psalm 119, verse 32, said God will enlarge our heart that we may run the way of his commandments. He's going to literally enlarge our hearts to be able to do this. And God will give you, He expects you to begin to remind them of promises that he said. Take those prophetic words that you can't shake anyway. Even though you don't want to believe them anymore. Take them back off the shelf. Well, you know, and remind God. This is what you said. I mean, we've done this, you know, when before our son was born, I said, God, give me a scripture. Give me a scripture concerning Joey. And he gave me Isaiah 61:9. He said, he will be known among the, your offspring is blessed. He'll be known among the nations as the offspring the Lord has blessed. So we've confessed that over his life before he was born all the way to this day. That he would be known not just in this nation, but among the nations. He would stand out. You know, my son now is known as one of the leading high-tech people in the world, among the nations. He's the offspring God's blessed. When he won the international thing several years ago in Pittsburgh, I'll tell you something, as a parent, he was excited when they called his name and there were 10,000 people in the auditorium and his name's on the Megatron and he's running up there to get his prize. And there's probably only one person more excited than him. It was me. Why? That's my boy. And when he does well, I get glory. When he does well, I get glory. That's how God feels about us. When we do well, he gets the glory. Come on now. He wants us to succeed because it does make him look good too. He gets no glory when we're laid low in the wilderness. Come on. See, you need to fan the flame, the gift. And you determine the level of what you're going to receive. You determine it. That's what I love about faith. God says, according to your capacity to believe, you can receive. Did you choose? When the poor widow woman's sons were going to be taken away and thrown into prison because she couldn't pay, in 2 Kings chapter 4, she couldn't pay the debtors. You know, she came to the prophet and she started saying, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this. It sounds like most of the church world. I don't have all the breaks. I don't have this. If my husband hadn't died, if this hadn't happened, if this... And you know, one thing about prophets is they don't pet your flesh. I'm not a real good counselor. If you want me to just stroke you, it's probably not going to happen. It will at first. You know, when someone takes a devastation, I'll give them a hug for a season. Then I have to say, get over it, whether I like it or not. You know, why? Because they can die in self-pity. You know? And then, you know, she said what she didn't have. And what did the prophet say? What do you have in your hand? He said, well, I got a little bit of oil. Then he basically said, you determine the supply. Borrow vessels, not a few. He didn't say how many. He just said, not a few. And you know, she borrowed a lot of vessels. And the oil began to flow and filled every vessel until the last vessel she borrowed. She determined that she borrowed more vessels, it was still flowing. Come on. Does this make sense? Couple more things I'm going to pray for you. I hope you like this tonight because it's what I got. And we're actually going to go to part two tomorrow because the shift is important. It's very important prophetically. What I'm talking tonight is very, very, very important. And if we don't shift our thinking into this high gear mentality, we are going to get stuck even though God's moving. And guess what? We're going to miss a move of God. But 2 Kings, well, I found out, how many of you understand many times God keeps saying the answer to you and you don't receive it? You know, one of my favorite stories, again, I love 2 Kings chapter 4 because it's rich. So there's a prominent woman, a prominent woman in the area that Elijah kept coming in, eating at her house continually. You know? She must have been very hospitable. She must have been a good cook because the prophet kept coming. You know, I mean, if it's a bad cook, you eat there once. Come on now. Never. I have said to pastors before, never again. Never again. Don't you kill me with some, you know. I said, it's nice, but maybe for you. Never again. Well, in this case, he came continually, and one day it says in 2 Kings 4, the widow woman looks to her husband and said, this is not like all the other fat preachers who eat our fried chicken. We perceive he's a holy man of God. He's carrying something. What did they say? She said, make room. We have to make room for him. We have to make room for him. Build on the chamber so he has a place. We have to bring him into our house. He has to be part of the fiber of our house. Make room for him. So they built a room that he could continually stay in every time he was in the area. And if you study the scripture, as soon as the room was built and not before, the prophet said, sent his servant and said, now ask the woman what she wants me to do for her. He had the ability to meet her need every time he ate there. He didn't have the authority to do it until she built the room. God would not allow him to release his gifting. And she was barren. And many of us, we have areas of barrenness, and God sends a gift. And we may even feed the gift, but we don't make room for it. And we're barren year after year after year, and yet the answer to our barrenness is eating at our table. Elijah knew she was barren and knew it was a curse in that society. He even knew what she really wanted, but she still had to voice it. So she voiced it, and he said, by this time next year, you'll have a son. When they finally made room for the gift, the barrenness ended. Come on. God sends answers all the time. People don't like the way they're clothed. Am I helping you yet? See, God's bringing us into a whole different season. Don't consider your circumstances. Consider your God. Don't consider your circumstances. Look unto Him. Consider your source. Don't consider your body as good as dead. Consider God as greater. Become fully convinced. When God makes a promise to your hearts, there'll be a test on whether you'll hold on to it. This church, you've had gone through a test. The question is whether you still are holding on to the promise, and that will be shown in this season. One way or the other. Come on now. Consider Him who parted the Red Sea using Moses. Had the sun stand still in the sky for 24 hours at the word of a man. Joshua commanded the sun to stand still. My son again talks to me. He said, Daddy, one of the things I tell scientists is they do not understand why the rotation of the earth is off 24 hours. Have no clue. They said it should be, you know, over here, and we're just over here. It's like a 24-hour thing where there seemed to be no rotation. Why? Because a man had the courage to ask God something that's never been asked before. He said, I want you to... You understand something? He basically said, God, interrupt the entire universe for this to be done. Change all the stars, everything, because it affects everything. God said, hey, if you're bold enough to ask, I'm bold enough to do it. Come on now. Come on now. You know, we see how God fed 5,000 men with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He raised the dead. He healed all manner of sickness and disease. Is anything too difficult for Him? We are coming into a different season. Get your confidence back out. Come on now. It's time to go forward, not shrink back. See, you got to understand, even if there's a wall in front of you, that wall will fall. That wall will fall. If God made a promise to you, that wall can't stand in the way. Circumstances can't stand in the way. Sickness and disease can't stand in the way. Relatives can't stand in the way. Come on. Government can't stand in the way. Nothing can stand in the way of Almighty God. That's why God said, hey, you got to begin to exalt the King and His kingdom above all the kingdoms of this world. Stop limiting me. When I want to be revealed, you limit me. When you live in a box, I can't be revealed. Only when you believe I can show up and manifest. Come on. Shift is coming. We're all part of it if we want to be. Be honest with you, the thing about a shift is if we're not part of it, we still are going to be part of it. What is on one side a blessing is on the other side a curse. Because when a shift comes, if we don't shift with the shift, we're no longer connected. You hear what I'm saying? And there's a danger right now. There's a danger. I know it in my spirit. A lot of churches, when they pulled out of the, they pulled off the Holy Ghost, they pulled off a kingdom. They did not know. Now, I'm not saying they're in the kingdom of darkness. They pulled off a kingdom life, though. And when this shift comes, the Holy Ghost will become more popular. And there are going to be some people, honestly, they're going to shake themselves and the anointing won't come again. Be like Samson. The shake themselves and think, well, I just thought just didn't shake. And I said, no, no, their eyes said, you can't shake yourself in the flesh and expect the Spirit to show up. You can't be sleeping with the world and expect that same anointing to be on you. Well, you thought wrong. Sad thing is, he said, you know, you'll be used again, but the sad thing is your eyes will be put out. Your vision will be lost. The good news is God's given, he's regained sight to the blind, both naturally and spiritually. There's a whole different group. There's a whole different group that they basically pulled away from things that God's going to draw back in. Once they recognize it, they'll jump in it. But there's a group that they like the way things are now. And God said, you can have whatever you want. You want to have church without me? You can. Just don't call it church. There are a lot of churches in America that aren't churches. You can't call it the house of God because God's not in the house. God is here. How many of you tonight, you, there's a hunger, there's a thirst. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You know, how many of you say, God, I want to be more sensitive so I can move with you. I can move with you in this next move of God. How many of you are willing to say, God, I'm ready for some acceleration? And I don't mean more activity in the flesh. I don't mean to be exhausting yourself, because I found out when it's the Holy Ghost, it invigorates you. It doesn't exhaust. I know the difference. There are times people say, well, you know, when they look at my schedule, they say, does that burn you out? Not when I'm walking with God. The only time it burns me out is when I haven't spent enough time alone with God. And I still have enough to give to the people, but it burns me out. Come on. Today, God's just saying, come on in. Come on. Come on. How many of you say, man, that's me. I'm going for the shift. I'm going for the shift. I'm going. God, when you shift, I'm going shift. We're going. Let's shift it. Let's shift together. How many of you say, hey, God, activate me. Activate me. God, I want to stir up the gifts, but activate them. God, reactivate them. Restore the passion. Some of you have to say, God, breathe, breathe, breathe on the vision. You breathed in me 30 years ago. Let me not settle for just a portion of it when you gave me the fullness of it. God just says, you determine how much of it you want. You think you're too old? Probably are. Because as a man thinks within himself, so is he. But if you think you're just like Caleb, give me the mountain. You promised me that, I want my portion. I want my portion. I want what you showed me. I want what you showed me. It's not just for me. It's the inheritance for my family. I have to get it. I have to possess it, because if I possess it, then they can live in it and build on it. Come on now. You want prayer tonight, come on up. I want to begin to pray. There's a prophetic anointing tonight just to activate you. Many of you, honestly, what we're going to find out tonight, how God's beginning to reposition people. You know, what I found out is, you know, there are seasons. You know, God is shifting my, and I've noticed it the last several years. Well, you know, this year we're involved in 5 church plantings. You know, and in the 5 church plantings this year, right now, we've already reached 1,200 new people for Christ.
Praise God.
It's, you know, and God's just been, you know, he's been putting that fathering thing in me. And he said, you know, he said, you'll still get a chance to fight some giants, but not as many as you used to. He said, you're going to release my people to fight. He said, your part now is to impart to them what I've placed in you. And he said, I'm going to send you like Samuel to find the young leaders of this generation. and to prophetically begin to activate them, to release them into their destinies. And I'll let you know when your time's up on that one. And it's a different season. It's just a different season. It's the shift. And guess what? Every season's good. It's just different. And I thought, Lord, you know, what's been shocking is we're having more and more people contacting us, saying, "Well, can you cover us now?" Where before, you know, I used to have people ask me to do it. I said, "No, I'm not doing it. I don't know how many times I've had people beg me. I said, "No, we're not going there." And now it's a whole different season. That's okay. Seasons are good. You know, seasons are good. You know what it means? It means the kingdom's going to go forward because we're going to release a whole different generation. And some of us, we're going to raise up people to take our places. Come on now. I'm going to a church now where the founding pastor, well, Billy Joe, went home to be with the Lord. And Sharon, you know, for 5 years, she carried it on. Well, she's passed the baton to her son. Now she's going to the nations and going to the churches that Victory has birthed. She's not retiring, she's refiring, but she's in a different position now. You know, and it has to take place. She knew it. She said, I have to step into something new. I believe every one of us, God's going to ask us to step into something new, some new things, and say, hey, that's not the way we used to. Yeah, it's now. Come on now. He said, I'm doing a new thing, which means we have to step into the new. Amen. He said, I'm going to make all things new. Lift your hands towards heaven. Start thanking God. You're going to be used in this new move of God. Father, we release this now. I thank you, God. You're unsticking things now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the greatest season ever for this area, for this church. I thank you for all the young people it's going to reach. I thank you, God, for renewing the youth of everyone here in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, you're going to give us a supernatural favor and open doors that have previously been shut. I thank you, God, the greatest healing miracles have been reserved for this season. Then, Lord, we're going to make history in this area and other areas in the nations of the world. God said, take the limits off. Take the limits off. Stop living by what you see on the outside and start living by what you see on the inside. Come on now, for the kingdom of God's not on the outside. The kingdom of God is in you. Oh, this is a whole different season. God says, I'm about ready. Resurrection power is going to hit. I'm going to begin to draw. And you're going to tap into rivers that have been there. They're going to begin to flow again. This is a new season. God brought you in for such a time as this. Oh. God's going to make history with the most least likely people. Come on now. Because He's God. This is a whole different season. This is a fun season. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. This is an exploring season. And he said, "You, when you go places, you're going to pick up things in the spirit realm that you're going to be able to implement." God said, hey, I'm going to begin to literally broaden your vision so that you can become even more effective. You know, that's what I found out. A lot of times, even when I go overseas, I minister to them, but I pick up things. I pick up the ability. All of a sudden, I come back to the States, I'm sharper. Well, that's why I love going from state to state to state, because every state has its uniqueness. Come on now. So you pick up stuff. See, God's about ready. He's about ready to move us to new realms. Most of us, we have got to get out of just security thinking into the adventure again. The adventure again. The faith adventure again. Oh, rather than being nervous about the unknown, we should be excited about it. Because God's going to bring us into unknown realms. But it's been unknown to any other generation before us. Come on. God's going to bring healing, power, anointing, blessing for such a time as this. Huh. And God, the suddenlies are going to begin to take place. Suddenly, everything's just going to snap back and begin to flow properly. Suddenly, and those dreams will come to pass in Jesus' name. God's watching over His Word to perform it. This is a new season. And that power is beginning to get manifest even greater in the name of Jesus. You know, I love that God is greater than anything. We're going to see breakthrough in the name of Jesus. How many of you hear the breakthrough of many waters? It's here. It's here. It's here. Not by our power, not by our might. It's the Holy Ghost. There's a spirit of glory that's about ready to hit the church. Oh, the glory, the glory, the glory. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. When we take off limitations, the kingdom manifests. The power manifests. And the glory is manifested in our midst. And the King sits in the midst of us. Something's breaking. Jesus said, I'll be the face of this revival. And I'll be the name of this revival. In fact, this revival will have the biggest name ever. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. People will come to see me. People will come to see me. They won't come to see man. They won't even come to see a man that's gifted. They'll come to see me. And then my body will be in the streets. And they'll see me in the streets. Everywhere my body goes, people will see me. Because I'm anointing my body with fresh oil. Huh. There's a smell about them. It's a sweet aroma, sweet aroma, sweet aroma, sweet aroma. There's a triumphant spirit about them. There's a difference between my body and the world. That's very noticeable. People will be drawn to the beauty. Holiness, the beauty of the glory of God that's on my bride. And there will be added to the bride. And the bride will become more beautiful with every addition until it's totally formed so I can return, declares the Lord. For there's members missing, so I cannot return. Until the members that are missing are added to my body. So my body will have fullness of glory. Then I'll take it back. Come on. Think about that. Selah. You catching something tonight. Well, I'm going to give it back to you, Gordon. I could stay in this all night, but I'm going to come back into it tomorrow, I believe. At least we'll be teaching on. We'll see what God does.